Accession number 24192, reel 12.
Mr. Taylor, reel 12. We're talking about your time at, we got to Dill's Corner Camp. In Hong Kong between 1954. What other things that happened? I believe you did a Queen's birthday parade there. Can you tell us about that?
First, we did the coronation. We did the coronation parade.
What was that like?
In fact, Gilly came back, I think he brought back, I can't remember how many, 50 people to a parade in Norwich for the coronation with it from the battalion.
And did you go on that?
I didn't go on that, no. Then we had the parade in Hong Kong, coronation parade in Hong Kong. It was a battalion parade. And then we went up to...
What was one of these big ceremonial parades like? I mean, how would you prepare for it and what would happen?
Well, you prepare for it by doing probably two drill parades a week, for probably 4 weeks. And you work up to a dress rehearsal. And then the final day. I think, if I remember rightly, the adjutant had a horse in Hong Kong. And I think we paraded on in the battalion. Then we went to Sekong. And we did it with all the other units that were on the territories, on the airfield in Sekong, and with the Gurkhas, us, there were tanks, the artillery, who else we got out there? Oh, the engineers, everybody, all the people like that. They were all on the parade, so it was one big parade.
Were they quite inspiring, these big parades?
They are good, actually. They're very good. Yeah, I like the old parades. Very good.
The Queen's birthday as well?
We did the Queen's birthday as well. Roughly the same procedure for it. When we, as a senior ranks, we just had for duties and that sort of thing at night. You wore whites. You had a white suit, trousers, jacket. So that looked quite good.
Anything else happened while you were out there? Any incidents or points of changes?
We did the odd patrols along the river for illegals coming in from China to the... Along the river.
Alongside.
Apparently they built a fence along it, which never used to have a fence along it at one time. And they had a post up in Luwu, like an outpost. We stood, you could actually see the Chinese. You knew which unit was in Korea and which unit had come back. Just by clocking them and noting it down. And if any illegals were caught, they were taken, we handed them over to the police, and they were put in jail. And then when they got enough, they used to put them in the back of a truck and take them back through Lower Wounds and give them back to them. Because they didn't want them. Get out of it, which we wanted to do with some of ours. But anyway, that's by the by. So we did some patrols along the river.
What were they like? So you'd be walking along the riverbanks at night?
It wasn't very pleasant because it wasn't a terribly good area to walk along. It was sort of marshy and quite unstable at night, falling over and...
How many in the patrol?
About seven or eight.
So a sergeant, a corporal, and five or six men.
Yeah.
Do you ever catch anyone? Anything happen?
We didn't catch anybody. I think they got wise to. They knew exactly what the routine was as far as we were concerned. They used to come up with certain different areas. They knew at what time our patrols were going out. I think in the end they knew exactly what was happening, so they could get away with it. They finally got picked up, of course, by the police. The police could tell a Chinaman from a Hong Kong person.
How?
I don't know. Were they look different? I mean, it's the same as I suppose an Indian can tell a different class to a, that sort of thing. So I'm not sure whether that's the way it was to work, whether they could tell the shape of the face or whatever the haircut.
How did you get on with the local population, you know, the Hong Kong Chinese?
Good, as far as I can recall. I can't remember any. I mean, you had your rides in your rickshaws and that sort of thing. It's some of those you get out of hand, I suppose. But you know, the boys getting free drinks and sort of whipping the old boy along. You had your bicycle taxis. I think overall, there was never that many complaints.
There was no trouble then with the local population, as far as how did they look on you? Do you think? Not you personally, but you know, the British, were they slightly resentful or accepting?
I don't think they were at that time, because they had a long way to go to 96, I think. So I don't think they were too worried then. I can't recall any problems with any of them.
What about the Chinese, the red Chinese? I mean, did you have any contact with the border guards or with them at all?
We never had, the Chinese police would take the illegals back, so we never had anything to do with those at all. Because you had the barrier across at Lo Wo, which was, you can't get through it, so half was so in the Chinese setup, and half was in Hong Kong, half in the territories. But up to the barrier, that was it.
So anything else happened before you left in 54?
I don't think. I can't think of anything else that did happen. Anything at all. Can't recall.
So when did you leave? Late 54 or?
August, I think it was September 54, I think it was. September 54 we came back. In the Colchester.
Do you remember anything about the journey back, or did you just...
Normal troop ship job.
Not the Empire Oil, well, though.
Not the Empire Oil. We came back on the Asturias. SS Asturias. It was quite a big ship. Quite a big troop ship. It wasn't a bad trip, actually. Plenty of films. Gangs on deck, a little bit of PT and that sort of thing, because you had all the families on board as well, so that sort of helped as far as they keep things going in the messes at night.
Were you pleased to be coming back?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, yeah.
You've been out for quite a while by then, haven't you?
We've been out sort of 3 years, just about. We came back to Colchester, we had a good boat back. Land at Liverpool, came up to Colchester by train, went on leave.
Now, where were you based at Colchester? Which barracks? Or
Roman Way.
Roman Way
barracks.
Is that it's a barracks, not a camp?
It was spider huts, but now I think it's a brick camp. It's been rebuilt, so I understand.
What was it like on leave after 3 years away? I mean, did it seem as if things had changed or never been away, or how was it?
Well, I don't think people realised you'd been away, tell you the truth. We'd been away. It did seem a bit strange, because you sort of spent 3 years either sitting in a hole or being in a barrack room. So
Had life probably moved on? I mean, you know, when you left, it was still a bit austerity. Was it less austere?
I think it had moved on. Yeah. You said how all the Americans ran Norfolk, weren't you? But and he went to the pubs in Norwich and all the Americans there. But other than that, it had moved on a bit, yeah, definitely.
What about your what was your status as a regular, an NCO in the regular soldier in civilian life? I mean, did people look up to you at all? Was there any sense of that you were doing a job for them, or did people just look down on you?
I don't think they sort of took it as read, that you were in the army and that was it. That's the way I appeared to me, anyway. I don't think it was, don't think anybody looked up to say that you were doing a good job, or supporting the Queen, or
But they didn't look down either.
I don't think they looked down. Oh no, no.
So it was just they didn't really think about it.
No, I don't think they really thought about it. I think they probably had their own problems, so they were probably bigger than mine. So it was.
Now, when you were you back into Roman Way camp, I mean, what was life like in there? You weren't there that long, were you?
Before we went, we were there about 12 months, weren't we? Before we went to Cyprus. Well, I was transferred to B Company. I think after probably a couple of 3 months being back in after leave.
Now, why were you a sort of mortar specialist transferred to B Company? Had you asked for it or was it part of a rotation?
Probably the CEO decided that I'd been there long enough, so I got sent to Rifle Company.
Now, do you know which platoon you were sent to? And were you sent as a platoon sergeant?
Yeah, I was sent a platoon sergeant. My platoon commander was Herbert. He was the Bishop of Norwich's son at that time.
Do you know his first name? It'd be Lieutenant Herbert, anyway.
Lieutenant Herbert, yeah. No, I can't remember his first name.
What was he like then? We're looking at what he was like as an officer and how he related to you as his platoon sergeant. How experienced was he?
I have a feeling that he joined us in Colchester. I can't remember him before Colchester, so I'm not sure. I can't remember where he came from or whether he'd been in another unit or whether he was at Eaton Hall or. I don't think he did Sandhurst. I don't think he did Sandhurst. I can't remember.
Did he? Yeah. I mean, how did he strike you? As an experienced officer or as a went behind
you? Not particularly, no. Not particularly experienced officer, no.
How did it show itself? What were his problems?
His dress for a start, for a certain example, was not very good, as far as I thought anyway.
Was he actually scruffy or just not smart?
He was a little bit in between. A little bit in between, sort of not scruffy, not smart. He always appeared to me that he picked it up off the floor and put it on the uniform in the mornings.
How did he treat you? I mean,
very well.
Was he another one who could learn from you? Although you weren't a rifle, platoon specialist,
but,
were you?
But I mean, I had done tactics and everything like that. That was one of the great. A great problem, as far as I was concerned. He treated me very well. I always had a good rapport with him.
So again, another officer who was willing to learn and work with you rather than across you.
Yeah. Now he may be one of these guys that I don't think the CEO liked him very much either, because the things that had happened when the CEO was around for an exercise or so. He wouldn't go to him, he'd come to me and ask me the questions. He wouldn't ask him. So I don't know what happened there, whether he thought he wouldn't get an answer or the correct answer, or probably, I don't know. But he would always come over and ask me the questions. And Turner Kane, the one in Hong Kong, was the same. He would come over and ask me questions.
Well, let's talk about these colonels, because I didn't realise it wasn't Oliver.
Turner Kane took over from Oliver.
That's Colonel Turner...
Kane.
K-A or...
K-A-I-N.
What was he like? We'll go back to him.
He was a bit of a taskmaster, actually. He was the one that fell out with Gilly. I had him moved. Shifted sideways or whatever. What I saw of him, I felt he was quite strict. He was quite fair, but strict. And if you'd done a job, he'd tell you you'd done a good job. If you didn't, he would also tell you in no uncertain terms. He's one of those guys that he wanted the best battalion. So that was the way he went about it. And I wouldn't say I liked him. He's not the sort of guy I would like, but as I said, he never done me any harm.
And he did it, and he was still doing it when he came back to Colchester, was he?
He did it back to Colchester.
And then the new colonel was Colonel.
Who's the new CEO?
No, we can't quite remember his name. Yeah. Bill, you thought, but. Well, what was he like anyway? We could always fill the name in later. What was the new colonel like?
He was. I think he came from the Suffolks, actually. To us. He was a sort of a strange sort of guy as far as I was concerned. We didn't have much to do with him as far as sort of talking to him and this sort of thing. But everybody seemed to sort of, after Turner Kane, everybody found he was quite jovial.
Was that good for the battalion, though? I mean, were you perhaps not better off with Turner? I mean, do you see what I mean? I can see that he might be more popular, but was he as good?
I don't think he was as good, actually. I don't think he was as good. Because I think just after he took over, we moved to Cyprus, if I remember rightly. And the first time I sort of had any contact with him was after we were in Cyprus.
I'll come back to that then, yeah. Because that leads us slightly.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, how did you... what about your NCOs? I mean, you were platoon sergeant.
Yeah.
Who were your right-hand men, your NCOs?
Three section corporals. And a couple of lance corporals. I can't remember the names.
How did you get on with them? I mean, you know, you've been a platoon, you've done all this corporal work. How did you get on with them? Were they any good?
Yeah, I think, I can remember, we got on very well. Got on very well, they always done a good job. Well, I can remember anyway. I can't remember any other problems.
Would you maintain a distance in rank between them? So you wouldn't get too pally with them?
No, you couldn't. I don't think it. I think once you start doing that, then you sort of do lose a little bit of control. Familiarity breeds contempt, they say, don't they? I found that they always did a good job. If they didn't, then they got a boot up the backside. And then I went on another course from there as well.
What was that in?
That was a weapons and tactics at Hythe in Kent.
Is that the small arms school?
Yeah, the small arms school, yeah. They moved to Warminster, I think, at about, what, in the 70s, was it?
Now, what was the nature of the course and what weapons was it concentrated on?
Brain gun, rifle. They were trying to introduce the 50 caliber Browning. They had some vehicles made for this, which you could the vehicle commander could stand up at the top with this 30 millimeter, so 0.5 Browning. Sorry, 0.5 Browning. And they made some fittings so you could fit the gun on the top.
This is a sort of machine gun. I'm not sure what it is.
0.5. Yeah, it's
was this to replace the Vickers or?
No, I don't think it never materialised anyway.
What was it like?
I only fired it on the ground roll, and it was like you had the circle, you had legs coming out, and you stood inside it, and it, to fire it, I mean it had a long barrel. I can't remember the length of the barrel now. About 5 foot. Put your hands underneath to pull the trigger. It had the working parts on top and the belt fed. You had to fire at this 6 foot target, which was about 200 yards away. And you just couldn't hold it. I mean, the old barrel used to go down. You used to fire a full burst. You had a problem holding it to fire it. This was brought out originally for a box barrels, the artillery used to use it for box barrels for planes. So this, it never materialised. You couldn't imagine putting one of these on a, what was it, 1500 weight truck, I think, at the time. And you're supposed to put that on the top and fire it from there. And nobody, it didn't materialise.
Any other new weapons or new tactics?
I can't recall anything new.
What was the standard weapon? Still the Lee-Enfield.
The Lee-Enfield at that time. Yeah, Lee-Enfield and Bren gun, Sten gun. So Sterling, as it was called then. What else do we have? Pistols.
Any changes in tactics? You know, I mean, any you know, anything new? Or any change of emphasis?
I can't think of anything new there. Some of the officers who'd been done their course, which they used to do when they left Sandhurst, came back with new ideas of tactics, this sort of thing, but covering fire and all this sort of thing, different setups, although it's still the same as the old way, in as much as that you still did your covering fire, but not in such a so you had sort of two covering and two moving up and this sort of thing, rather than the whole section moving forward, so you didn't have everybody up at the same time, this sort of thing. But I can't think of any other new tactics that not at small arms.
How did you do on the course? I mean, did you do well on the course?
I had a good result on the course, yeah.
Was it important to get a good result for your career and for the regiment?
I think so, yeah, because somebody said, well, could say, I don't know if they did, but could say, well, it's he was a bit of a dud, sort of thing. But it was on, I was doing my last teaching practice, I think on a Thursday, because we were finishing on the Friday, and we got a call to go back to the battalion. They report back to the battalion, we're on standby for Cyprus. There were two of us on the course. We just packed the bags and left. And the result came later. And we returned to the battalion. And everybody was kitting out for Cyprus.
Now, was this an emergency mobilisation?
Yeah.
Now, what were the preparations like? Because you hadn't got the time then. You had before Korea.
Yeah. Fairly hectic, actually. You had to pack all the boxes again. What else? It was general packing up and getting everybody's kit together, making sure everybody got all the kit they needed. I can't remember whether we got. I don't think we got issue with any other dress other than our battle dress that we had. I don't think we did actually. And we moved out on the Sunday afternoon, I think. Sunday afternoon we went to... We didn't go to Blythe Norton, I don't think.
Doesn't matter. We may have flown out then.
We flew out from wherever.
What was an air embarkation like? How was it organised?
It was like loading anything, really. You had your... Yeah, lists of people that could get to go on and who was to go on what plane and this sort of thing. And that was about it. All the kit was loaded by their own people on the plane, the boxes and what have you, what we needed, was needed. And we landed in Nicosia. We got to just out of Nicosia on a piece of ground. And they said, here's your tent, pitch it. So we had the battalion under canvas, just outside Nicosia. We had to do what they call the soft shoe patrol.
Now, hang on, before we go into that, were you aware of why you were there? Were you briefed at all about the situation? Because it's quite complicated in Cyprus.
Yeah, We knew roughly what was happening. Who was responsible for the problems before we left. But I don't think they delved too deeply into it. They just knew that Ioka were around and who was responsible for Ioka. But other than that, nothing really. And
What were the patrols? The patrols were what you were sent there to do, I suppose, really.
Yeah, that's the main thing, yeah.
What were the patrols like? You say soft shoe patrols.
Well, you wore your gym shoes as opposed to boots at night. Well, that was so you didn't wake the Cypriots up. I don't know, but you had an area which you had to cover. Like you went down one street and probably back up another street and so on. So you had an area, and the other patrols did the same. So you sort of covered the whole of the area. You used to go out at probably out about 4 hours, I think.
Now, how many of you would go, and what would you be wearing, and what would you be carrying?
You'd be wearing carrying a rifle, plus ammunition, small kit, that's your pouches and your straps in those days, berries as opposed to steel helmets, and I can remember that's about it, I think that's about it.
And you were basically patrolling around a couple of streets of Nicosia. That's what you were there for.
Yeah, yeah. The object of the exercise was to sort of there was a curfew on it at the time. So the object was to pick up anybody that was out after curfew. The idea of it. Very rarely found anybody, because most of them were in the out of the town in the hills anyway. So we used to get on quite well, because some of the people knew you around. So you always got a cup of coffee or something during the night. You just get back about, I think we got back about 3 o'clock in the morning.
What formation would you adopt? I mean, you know, how many of you, there'd be how many going out?
But I think the patrols were about 8.
Same as before.
So roughly about the same.
And how would you go down the street in a single line or across?
Yeah, I would. Well, the way I did it was to sort of walk in the middle, and split up the patrol on the other side.
So you had three or four on one side and the other.
One ahead of the other. So you were sort of covering one another if something happened. You know, if we picked somebody up and there were other people around who didn't like the idea of being captured. And that's the way we used to work it, and it always worked out all right.
So. Well, was there any shots fired at the patrol, or any, you know, attacks?
I can't recall any shots being fired at them at all.
And did you ever catch anyone?
No.
So it was just sort of part of a mass process.
Yeah.